Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. From the epistle for this festival of the Holy Trinity, the 11th chapter of St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 33rd verse, where St. Paul writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways." Whenever Trinity Sunday comes round, my thoughts almost always turn to some words of Dr. Luther concerning the mystery of God, the mystery that is God. And this is what he had to say. God is a supernatural and inscrutable being who exists at the same time in every little seed, whole and entire, and yet in all and above all and outside all created things. Nothing is so small, but God is still smaller. Nothing is so large, but God is still larger. Nothing is so short, but God is still shorter. Nothing is so long, but God is still longer. Nothing is so broad, but God is still broader. Nothing is so narrow, but God is still narrower. He is an inexpressible being, above and beyond all that can be described or imagined. He is an inexpressible being, above and beyond all that can be described or imagined. And yet this inexpressible, inscrutable, unimaginable God has truly revealed himself in his Son, his eternal Word made flesh. Saint John wonderfully expresses this apparent contradiction, this great paradox, when he writes, "No one has ever seen God, the only Son who is close to the Father's heart. He has made him known." No one has ever seen God, the only Son who is close to the Father's heart. He has made him known. And it is on this festival of the Holy Trinity, this Trinity Sunday, that we give thanks that this utterly mysterious God has, for our salvation, revealed himself through his Son and through his Spirit to be the holy and undivided Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Yet even in this gracious revelation of himself, God remains mystery. Mystery beyond knowing, that the mind can never fully fathom, nor human words ever fully express. And yet this God, who is beyond all knowing, has revealed his heart to us through the child lying in the manger and through Jesus nailed to a Roman cross. Yes, on Trinity Sunday, we both contemplate and adore the mystery of the triune God, the mystery that is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. But in the epistle from St. Paul's letter to the Romans that is read as it was on this Trinity Sunday, we find not only the mystery of who God is, we also find the mystery of what God has done and does in the world, in your life and in mine, and in the lives of those countless billions of human beings his creative, generous love has called out of nothingness into being and will call into being until time is no more. For the words of the Trinity Sunday epistle come at the end of three long chapters in which St. Paul agonizes over the fate of the Jewish people, God's ancient chosen people, Israel, who, when the promised Messiah came, by and large rejected him, and in that way refused the salvation God so freely and graciously offers to them and to all the world. You can, in fact, hear St. Paul's inner turmoil, his agony, when he begins these three long chapters by saying this: I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen by race. So great is St. Paul's love for his fellow Jews that he could go so far as to say that he would be willing to be lost if that would save them. And he says this despite the fact that in almost every city where he had come to preach the good news and plant the church, it was the Jewish population that most strenuously opposed him, often resorting to violence. Clearly, St. Paul had taken to heart the words of Jesus the Messiah, who said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And Paul could do that because Christ had loved him who had been Christ's sworn enemy, who had in fact consented to the stoning of St. Stephen, and who had persecuted Christ's followers whenever and wherever he possibly could, until that day when on the road to Damascus, the risen Lord appeared to him saying, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Paul never ceased to marvel at Christ's love for him, Christ's sworn enemy. And so, having received unmerited love, he was then able to extend that same unmerited love to his enemies, most of which were people of his own blood, his own race. In St. Paul's words, you can hear the terrible anguish in his heart, his utter perplexity, and his bafflement at their refusal of Christ's generous love and mercy. It is this anguish and perplexity that we hear when in today's epistle St. Paul says of the hidden wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. As he contemplates the mysterious fact that God's ancient chosen people, by and large, rejected God's mercy given in the promised Messiah, while members of the heathen Gentile nations came to faith and baptism. Heathen Gentile nations steeped in unbelief, idolatry, shameful, unnatural sins and vices. And down through all the ages, believers too stare with bafflement at the hidden judgments of God. How innocent little children suffer at the hands not only of the unbound forces of nature, but also at the hands of violent men. How many of the very worst human beings live out their lives in great wealth and luxury, while desperately poor and truly humble people don't even have enough food to satisfy their hunger and can scarcely find water to quench their thirst. How all through history, human beings guilty of no crime of their own suffer because of the sins of evil ancestors. One could go on and on and on. Yet even in the face of these utterly baffling realities, St. Paul does not dare accuse the Lord God of being unjust. St. Paul instead reaffirms the psalmist faith. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. This very psalm verse cited by Abraham Lincoln in his luminous second inaugural address, when in the waning days of the Civil War, Lincoln contemplated the oceans of blood spilled in that war, and also the oceans of blood spilled in the unspeakable cruelties visited on enslaved African Americans before and during the Civil War. Cruelties that have in other forms continued to this very day. But we, with Lincoln, and with the psalmist, and with St. Paul, and with all believers, must in faith say, no matter how hard it is to understand, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And as we cannot possibly fully understand or adequately express in words the great mystery of the Holy Trinity, in the same way we cannot possibly understand or explain God's hidden counsel and wisdom, his hidden providence, his hidden governance of all things in heaven and on earth. We can, of course, try to understand all this, provided we keep firmly in mind that for reasons known only to God, the Creator and source of all things in whom we live and move and have our being, he has hidden these mysteries from our own very limited and fallen understanding. We need not worry too much about these baffling realities in the life of the world and in our own little lives. We need not be greatly troubled, because however hidden from mortal eyes God's truly good and gracious will might otherwise be, we see this truly good and gracious, this infinitely compassionate God with eyes of faith in the crucified Lord Jesus, who to assure us of his never failing love and mercy towards us, feeds us at this altar with that holy body which death could not hold nor the tomb contain, that holy body which opens to all believers the door to the heavenly kingdom, where all the clouds and mysteries of this mortal life will give way in the kindly light of the unveiled presence of Jesus, when through Jesus we behold the Holy Trinity who has saved us, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.